In the Fale is a music show on ABC Radio Australia, hosted by me, Paola Tukefu. I'll be spinning my favorite tunes from dancehall to disco, calypso to country, reggae to roots, and hip-hop to house music, from across the eras to keep the kids and the aunties happy. If it has a pumping groove, I'll be bringing it to you to bump you into the weekend.
Search up In the Fale to listen online or find it in the ABC Listen app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Yes, Malola Le to our Tongan audience who will be cheering on their Tongan stars this week during State of Origin. It is here, and kia ora. Welcome everyone to Neesian Footy, the best place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Tinirau Aruna, and alongside me each week is my koi Sammy Wykes. Sammy, happy State of Origin week, brother.
Yes, it is a big week. Plenty happening for State of Origin. We've got the men's on the Wednesday, the women's on the Thursday, rolls into some NRL. What round are we at?
Round 13. We just had round 12.
And then we've got the last round of Super Rugby too. So there is a lot happening this weekend.
I can't believe that. The last round of Super Rugby.
Short and sharp. We get into it, then we move into the Test Arena. So I can't wait for this week.
Hey, just on State of Origin, I spoke to our good friends at Neesia Daily, who are Michael and Jacob, who are also on ABC Pacific.
Machow.
And each year we have a bit of fun. We put a bit of a wager on
State of
Origin.
Don't tell me you've dragged me into one of your bets.
I said if New South Wales lose, our co-host has to do the haka.
Get out of it. Put yourself in there
I'm joking.
What was it last time? You dragged me into something last time.
Our wager was if New South Wales win, Jacob and Michael have to shout us, me and you, an island fee.
Oh, yeah, shot. Yeah,
but
it's always about a fee, eh?
If Queensland win, we have to shout them an
so
island fee.
Do we have to pay ID them or something? Because obviously they're in Brisbane, we're in Sydney.
We'll figure that bit out.
Oh, but we're going to win anyway. So,
just so we're on the same team here.
Yeah.
Okay?
Perfect. Yes, big show plan. As I mentioned, round 13 this week, last round of Super Rugby, Origin on. And our guest for today is Lorraine Genya, sister of the great Will Genya. But what's cool about Lorraine is just her involvement in club rugby in PNG. So she's on the ground there, goes over to the Valley Hunters Rugby Club in Port Moresby, using her experience in media around highlighting some of the success stories that come out of club rugby. So this is a really heartwarming chat.
Yeah, the Valley Hunters are a part of the Pepsi Capital Rugby Union competition. And her brother, Will Genya, but her other brother, Frank Genya,
Frankie,
is the head coach.
Head coach. So they go, when Will finishes from Japan, he comes back and does a bit of coaching with them. Frankie's been taking charge. And then, it's a big family affair when it comes to organising that club.
I want to know what the challenges are running a rugby union team or club in PNG, where rugby league is the number one sport in the country.
You make sure you have that question ready to go, and I'm looking forward to some of those really cool stories that where players are unearthed and they get opportunities and those pathway opportunities from that. But stay tuned. We'll get to moment of the week.
We're in sync here, brother.
We're in sync. And we talked over the intro, but that's all good. But it is a big moment. This week.
Is it a sad moment for you, Sammy?
It is a sad moment. It is. I'm not going to lie. You know, we've been covering Wana Pacifica for a very long time. And since their inception, it's been a joy to be able to, share some of the moments, especially being close to the inner circles a little bit, having, family members play for them and former teammates play for them as well. So to see their future still up in the air, it is saddened, but it most likely looks like this will be the last time they get to play a home game. They'll be being in New Zealand, but this is their last home game.
So the moment of the week today is the Moana Pacifica played their last home game at North Harbour.
At North Harbour Stadium in New Zealand. And we get to hear from Tana Umanga, raw as you get it, just probably after the captain's run. sitting in the grandstand and just...
speaking from the heart.
Absolutely. Let's have a listen to Tana.
This is my last home game for Moana Pacifica, and possibly our last home game for a bit. I just wanted to give a big shout out, really, to all those people behind the scenes, our staff, our players, you know, that are out there doing the job, that I've come in contact with, people that have assisted us, our fans, families, all the people that we play for. But also acknowledge our volunteers. I'm watching a couple of young kids here putting the...
Right, that was Tana there speaking from the heart. Obviously, he'll be going into his new role with the All Blacks, but watching that footage on social, so head over to Moana Pacifica's social pages and just watch the rawness on how he is speaking. And at the time, he is watching one of the kids put the golf post pads on. You know, just thinking about those little moments of glue that keep a team together, not just the players on the field. And he really acknowledged everyone who played a part with Moana Pacifica.
And we'll talk more about the game and their home game when you cover it here on Nijin Footy.
Absolutely.
Hi, I'm Tegan Hardigan, Bulikulu hooker, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
All right, Sam, let's get into some NRL. We do have Shelley Long joining us very shortly.
Yeah, we'll cover
State of Origin. She's back. And I know last Friday on Nijin Footy, we covered the Thursday night game where the Dolphins beat the Raiders 30-22. We did have four more games over the weekend, which we will just cover right here. So Bulldogs, they had a big comeback. They were down at halftime, 6-18 to the Melbourne Storm, and they end up finishing this game with a win, 30-20. And
are they back, or is it just a comeback from that game? But are they back for the season?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
He's caught it. He's caught a spade on that one.
You know who is back?
Who?
Our good friend Jetho Rinakama.
He got back-to-back tries or something.
Yeah, he got back-to-back tries. He got two tries for the Bulldogs. He's just come back for his first game of the season.
He had a shoulder reconstruction something like that. Shoulder surgery.
Injured that in Papua New Guinea during Fiji. Pacific Champs. So well done to Jeffro. I know that he's been working hard on getting that injury sorted.
It looks like he's filled out the jersey.
Yeah, he must be training with Stephen Crichton lately.
It has to be. Getting that, mate, those bicep curls must be out the gate in the gym there. He's looking good.
But the Bulldogs, they get that one over the Storm. And the Warriors, they go six in a row, beating the Dragons.
Warriors too. I tipped them.
30-12.
Sorry, Dragons.
They had three try scorers, Alofiana Khan-Pereira, Tamaide Martin, and Dallin Watine-Zelezniak, each of them scoring two tries each. But they remain second on the NRL ladder, and they will play the Penrith Panthers, top of the table clash, this Sunday. But Sammy, are the Warriors, for all our Warrior fans across the Pacific, are they the real deal?
They are the real deal.
And why are they the real deal?
Well, you lose your halfback. Was it last week or the week before?
Tanner Boyd went down, I think it was the week before.
And it's been confirmed that ACL. Out for the season. So you lose your general, who's been very pivotal at getting his team around the park, and they're going off his momentum. Everyone's playing their role.
They lost Luke Metcalf as well.
And there's been some news surrounding how media can distract the players' attention, outside noise. They've put all that to the side. Te Mari Martin comes in, steps up to the plate, next man up mentality, and it didn't slow them down one bit. And when you think about feeding off people's energy, they have to be the best fans. Up there with the Drua fans, when the Drua are winning, they've got to be next best.
They're singing the team song after they win, and the boys are walking to that corner where all the fans are. Their fans are singing the team song.
That's how you know you're in a good spot. So that's why I believe they're the real deal. And I think you said it last week. How good would a Penrith Warriors grand final be? When you talk about the on-field entertainment of the skill level, but I'd be more worried about what's going around the grounds.
Mate, this game on Sunday will be fireworks, especially with the State of Origin players like
They'll be backing up, won't they? Because it's a Sunday night game. Yeah,
Nathan Cleary.
Yeah, they'll all be there.
Bizza. They'll all
providing they get through the game.
Playing on Sunday against the against one another in the top of the table clash, and maybe, just maybe, the 2026 grand final. So one to look out for, but there was some sad news. Samoan superstar, Roger Toivasashek.
The old bull.
Yeah, he went down with a knee injury. It is reported to be an ACL, but, you know, that may hurt him. That may hurt him for this year. If it is an ACL, that's him
done. I'm just thinking about that World Cup as well.
That could be his last NRL game.
Yeah.
Because he's signed with a Super League club, the mighty Wakefield Trinity, next year over in the UK. But that would be his NRL season done, I think. I'd say so. And yep. Also,
well, hopefully there's some, like, we're hoping there's good news to come out of it, and it's not as bad as we think, but it's looking likely.
In another game, the Manly Sea Eagles, they beat the Gold Coast Titans 12 points to 10. Now, they went down to their fourth string fullback. No Tom Trbojevic, no Tolu Kola, no Lihai Hopoate, but they call up Clayton Faulalo, who's been playing some great footy, and I thought he was an outstanding player in this game. He had 21 carries for 247 metres. He set up one of the tries, and he scored the other one himself. So great work to Clayton. And
go on, Cuz. When are they signing up foreigners, coach? When are they going to announce? Bro, he's a 10-year deal.
Man, I wouldn't.
Come on.
Wouldn't be surprised if it's already been done.
They're fourth at the moment, bro.
He's lost one game in seven.
One in seven,
and that was a close one against
the Panthers.
So if I was Manly, I'd be getting a signature ASAP. And in the last game to wrap us up on Sunday yesterday in Townsville, we had the Cowboys beating the Rabbitohs 30 points to 18. PNG international Zach Labor, he opened the try scoring list, scoring for the Cowboys. But the cool story out of this one, I thought, was the Rabbitohs winger Talanoa Penetani making his NRL debut and scoring two tries on debut. A huge moment. I just want to say a big congratulations to Talanoa and also, you know, his family. Imagine having a son that's played in the NRL and two daughters that also play in the NRLW.
I know.
And carrying the Benetani name.
Man, unreal to see the whole family up there. I saw his uncle, his namesake, Talanoa. He's got a big son named Solomon. He's only 17 and towers over me. He's a big unit. So they all showed their support for that game and seeing him get the kahoas and stuff around his neck. But it was some sad news for him, though.
He did come off with a hamstring injury.
The sniper got him from the crowd.
That was his other hammy. I know he.
Oh, I thought so. Because it was the right one he was coming back from. So it's the left one this time.
So he injured his right one during the preseason match. Yep. And then, yeah, he ran
too fast. Stop running too fast.
You know what? Do the leg weights, like I said, like, mate. Said, I'm going to tell him.
I'll text him because we're mates now. But
get him on the show.
Before, I know you mentioned PNG. See the news, Luke Burt. Signed as the assistant coach for the PNG Chiefs. Remember, how old was Luke Burt when he made his debut for Para?
Was he 17?
16.
16 years old. 16,
turning 17. I was at his debut game for Parramatta at Para Stadium back in the day.
You're like, still alive. Damn.
I was born. I remember sitting
Luke,
on the
you
hill.
You know how old Luke Burt is, right?
Yeah, he's old, but I was sitting on the hill as a young kid, and then still I just remember. Nappies. Yeah, pretty much. But he's a good signing there, Luke Burt. How good's that?
And just remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. There was also some big news this morning. Andrew Abdo, the CEO of the NRL, has announced he's resigned from that role, and Peter Vlandis is the new interim CEO of the NRL. State of Origin this week, New South Wales Blues versus the Queensland Maroons. Game one, give me one prediction.
One prediction. Tolu Kola is scoring in the corner for the Blues. That's definitely happening. And the significance around that, like, so he's making his debut on the same venue, at the same venue where his parents were representing Tonga at the Olympics back in 2000.
So that's amazing, eh?
The mum was a flag bearer. So at that venue at Homebush, and he makes a big debut there. So
26 years after you represent your nation in the Olympics, your son makes
his Origin debut.
His Origin debut for the New South Wales Blues.
There will be at least 10 Tongan flags in the crowd.
Amongst the blue, the Batchy Blues.
Yeah, the Batchy Blues, just representing the Tongans there. That's my prediction.
All right, my prediction will be, okay, I'm going to go with Hamole Olakau'atu offload to Tedesco to score a try.
Ooh.
There it is. There's my call.
It's going to be wet too. It's going to be very wet in Sydney for this game. A lot of rain forecasted, so I reckon you're on the money there with Teddy sniffing around his big forwards.
We'll speak about the NRLW, the women's state of origin, very shortly with Shelley Long, but I've got to save you some room for rugby union.
Yeah,
Sammy.
And we'll talk more about origin on Friday. Yeah, we're good for Friday.
Yeah, we're good
Unpack
for Friday.
It all. We Perfect. Are good. All right, let's get over to rugby union.
Hello, Larry. My name is Hare Tāpore. I'm the CEO of Pacific Rugby Players. You're listening to Nations Footy.
Here we go, Team Rugby Union. And we did say it was a bit of a sad moment for Moana Pacifica playing their last home game. And honestly, against the Queensland Reds, mind you. So there's a bit of feeling in this one. Moana Pacifica, last home game. The Reds still playing for their finals hopes, which they are sitting in sixth spot at the moment. And it was just almost, it was nearly the fairy tale that everyone wanted to see happen.
It was close, wasn't it?
It was so close. Compared to where it probably was at halftime, Moana were down 26-7 at halftime. Got off to a flyer, scored the first try, but they just, the Reds just got in a bit of a roll and it just looked like, oh no, please. Please don't run away with
it. Don't be a blowout.
Don't be a blowout score. But from the 50th minute, Moana just found a way. They just were like winning collisions. They were finding flow and they were scoring points. And
where did the energy come from?
I'm not sure. Like, honestly, it was off the back of a couple of carries from their forwards where they just go, give me the ball. I'm going direct.
There's got to be a moment there where Tana's like, where the hell has this been all
where,
year?
Where? Who's standing up? Where was this? Every single game after round one when they got that win against the Drua, but they found that bit of form after the 50th minute. And Israel Liotta, the rugby league convert from the Broncos, he was on the wing, scored this sensational try from about, oh, I reckon it would have been about 60 metres out, beat about three players to score. Pellegrini converts, they go in front. They're in front.
They take the lead.
They take the lead, 28-26. 4 minutes to go, Pellegrini steps up for a penalty goal. Because they get one in front of the sticks, take it to 31-26.
So they're up by five.
Up by five. So the Reds need a try and conversion to win this, and there's only 3 minutes to go. DJ's playing Fiji, Sweet Darling. The crowd see, and I'm wondering, oh, whoa, bro, Sweet Darling, they're going off. You can just feel it. This is happening. This is kickoff comes. They catch it cleanly, perfect. Next phase, knock on at the ruck.
No.
Knock on.
Just hold the ball.
All they had to do was hold the ball. So there's like there's less than 3 minutes to go. Takes about a minute to pack the scrum. Ben Volavola, the Fijian international, he's just been subbed on for the Reds at fly half. Midfield scrum is the worst place to defend. It's so hard to defend as a back line because you've got to get your split right.
Your numbers right.
Your numbers right. So they had like a why is it so hard to defend as well? Because the fullback will sweep, they'll swing. So depending on what side of the scrum they get up will depend on what side they will go down.
So to paint the picture, there's six players, same as league, six players outside of the scrum.
Yeah. So it's either
and the scrum's in the middle.
Yes.
So you could either put four attackers on one side or two, or they go
yes.
Three and three, and they sweep, and one sweeps.
Yeah, and one sweeps. And for defense, it's important where you put your halfback. Is he going to go behind the scrum in the boot? You still need I don't know, with 2.5 minutes to go, do you need someone in the backfield? Because it was 20 to for the
so
kick
they
behind.
One in the backfield?
They had one in the backfield,
so
it was a 3-2.
Five defenders in the line.
In the line. So you have 3-2 with a lot to play with, 35 either side to play with, and then they go down the right side. Fullback swings for the Reds.
Creates
the extra 4v3. Person.
4v3.
So
4v3,
4v2. Well, with three, they actually defended it all right, but what they can't do is slide off too fast because Ben Volavola did a really good job at engaging Patrick in defence, so he couldn't slide with that.
So he held him.
So he held him, and he just throws this nice outboard to their 13, to Josh Fluke. The fullback that swung, created that extra man on the inside. Bang, he goes under and scores.
Oh, gutted.
And he kicks the goal to win.
No. Oh, he scored under the post.
Yeah, right next to it. Vola Vola kicks it. And that was it. They go down 33 points to 31. Heartbreak. Oh, man.
And you took me through the whole journey. And
I took you through
it.
And
I knew what was going to happen, and I still feel bad.
I thought I'd want to take you through it because I was up. I was ready. I was like high-fiving and jumping, and but they still get another crack this weekend.
They got another game.
Another game this week against the Brumbies.
Their last game this weekend. Yep. Brumbies in ACT in Canberra.
In the Brumbies. And myself and Declan Byrne, our old producer, will be commentating.
Oh, you're going down there?
Going down there for it.
Got the call-up.
So got the call-up.
What's the chances of getting
a league
don't
expert?
Don't get one of the boys' jerseys.
Oh, I thought, I thought you want to come with us. But anyway, all good. And just on that as well, T, with myself and Declan calling this game, if you're in Tonga, Fiji, Samoa, and the Cook Islands and love your rugby, you'll be able to hear my beautiful voice live on ABC Radio Australia. So we're broadcasting that game. We're bringing you that last game, Moana versus the Brumbies, for what is most likely going to be Moana's last ever game.
Are you going to take lead in the commentary and Declan be the expert? Is that the way?
No, you got to stick to the rules. But do you know who's next to me as an expert? His name's Laurie Fisher. He's forgotten more about professional rugby and rugby than I have ever gained. They call him the Lord for a reason. Expert. So I might not even get much airtime. But anyway, I'll be on the field
ABC
100%.
So tune in, ABC Radio Australia.
Yes.
This Saturday.
This Saturday coming. But we'll get on to the draw. I know I probably read him off a little bit too early.
Just you read him off.
Since I got the punt with commentary.
As soon as you knew that, yes. At the start of the year.
At the start, no. I was upbeat about the draw. I thought they were a lot more connected this year and I was expecting big things. But the draw has always struggled in Perth just with that travel. There's just always been something about it. But this time they actually showed up and, mate, they were on. They were ready to go. It was a very tight contest and I really enjoyed the battle because it wasn't a blowout game. You had to stay in the fight and it was just unfortunate. They just the force at the moment are in a place where they're just winning with a lot of grit and they just closed that one out to get the win, 19 points to 15, but their energy was a lot better than last year.
Did I go the force in my locking?
You did.
That's close, man. 4 points.
I know, bro. It was a good game to watch, and all the players stood up. I loved Manasa Mateli getting involved. He was swinging off his wing. The forwards, their forwards did a really good job muscling it when they needed to. But for the draw for next year, T, they're getting a new head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's important to understand how is he going to fix the inconsistencies in their performances?
So their coach this year, this is his first year?
This is his second year, but he's been there since the beginning.
He's been head coach for the last 2 years.
Yep.
My question is, like, what style of coach do they need?
That's a good question.
Do they need a coach that understands the culture, that understands these boys' backgrounds and what they have to go through to play at that level?
Yeah.
Or do they need a drill sergeant?
Like a Jamie Joseph,
just
something like
that. Just come in and change,
yeah.
Change the vibe and, put the law down so that the players have to adjust.
Yep.
What works? But
what works?
I know
you need the balance.
I know with the second one. It may work overnight.
Yep.
But it may not work
for
long term.
Yeah, for a long period of time.
But it might be that one thing that they need just to shake the cage a bit.
Yeah.
And get a few of the boys out of their comfort zones or just doing something different.
I know it's such a good point, man. Like Glenn Jackson and the coaching group haven't done a poor job. It's just like they just haven't got that balance right because the games that they've played well in, oh man, they were hissing. You look like a top four team. The games that they haven't played well in, it's like, man, this feels like club rugby all over again. So it's like bridging that gap so they bring consistency.
How far is Nems from being the head coach at that level, do you think?
How many polo shirts does he wear?
Yeah, but he could just wear the one big hat and put them all over.
Or for 7 days of the week. Hats. Look, I still think he's a while off, because it's the day-to-day and staying engaged with footy almost 24/7.
Are there any names in the hat for this for this role.
One name that I do actually like that's been thrown up is Brad Harris, who was the defensive coach for the Drua under Mick Byrne. And he's the defensive coach for the Western Force. I was trying to think who was it again, but the Western Force. And the Western Force have won a lot of games off the back of grit and defense. The games that when I thought the Drua played their best footy was when they fed off their defense. And Brad Harris was a big part of that, because once they just defended well, their other part of their game, what they're so good at attacking, took care of itself.
Yeah, Fijians can score tries.
They can score tries from everywhere.
At any time,
but when they
stayed
disciplined within their D and they knew what they were about, they won those collisions. Like, the boys didn't want to run at them. Like, opposition teams did not want to run at the Drua because it hurt a lot. So I think someone like him could be a smoky of getting that, but we'll soon find out. I guess it's around the corner. And finally, to wrap us up with rugby, a big congratulations to Bordeaux. They've gone back-to-back champs in Europe. Adam Coleman and Big Ben Thame Funa have been celebrating for in France with oh, they do it different over there. Have you seen the crowds over there?
I've seen his social media posts.
He's holding two trophies.
Man, holy. He looks like he's enjoying himself.
He's gone from $1.50, 150 kilos, his playing weight, and I've got no doubt he won't be wanting to jump on the scales over this next 7-day period.
Oh, man, back-to-back champs, man. You've got to enjoy that.
For Ben, but that's it for rugby. See, where are we going now?
We are heading over to Shelley Long to cover the Women's Origin, but we also stay tuned because we've got Lorraine Guinea joining us after Shelley Long.
The long story short with Shelley Long.
Yes, it's been a minute since she has joined us here on Nijin Footy. Welcome back, Shelley, our PNG Orchid star. Shell's here to catch us up on all things women's state of origin. Can you just give a quick refresher on the last two games?
Ooh, straight out the gates. Didn't waste any time. Wow. Hey, Shelley, how's your day? How are you? Long time.
Or we just get straight in the deep end.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. Unfortunately for the Queensland Maroons, they lost both of those games. It was a great experience, I think, for a lot of those players in that Queensland team. A couple of debutants were thrown into some hot water and, you know, we saw if they sunk or swum. And I think they did a good job considering. I think, unfortunately for them, New South Wales have just had a really solid, experienced team leading into both of those games. And they have the ability that their bench players can do a lot of work. You look at the likes of Jamie Frizzard. She's a winger, but she was placed in the middle during those games. So they've got that versatility, which I think Queensland don't have as much of.
Hey, when you think about the game itself, it went down to the wire, and man, the game's just flying when it comes to the origin space, the athleticism that comes from it. Who really stood out for you for Queensland?
For Queensland, I really liked Destiny Brill. I thought she made a great impact coming in as 18th man in the first game, and she showed them that she was prepared and ready. And in that second game, she did a lot of hard work, particularly around her defence. That's what I love most about Destiny Brill. She is a really strong tackler, but she's also got a really good accuracy pass to her, which Queensland needed. I think that their shape... Tamika Upton was generally a first receiver as well, which meant that the wingers and the centers didn't get a lot of great options, because normally she'd swing around, she'd be the second receiver off of those sweep plays, and they'd get a bit more action and attack joy. But I think, look, across those two games, I think Queensland had a lot of opportunities to win those games. There was a couple of tries and a couple of opportunities that were missed. And I think it really let New South Wales take their opportunities and really finish on them. But it was a good game overall.
We have touched on this last year, I think, around the format for this game or for the series. Now, this Thursday we'll have game 3. So the whole series be wrapped up before the NRLW season even kicks off. You know, what are your thoughts on the girls playing the pinnacle of our game, State of Origin, and finishing a series before the NRLW season even begins?
I think it's a bit of a tough one in the sense of NRLW is doing really well, and those experienced players that would play Origin do need to be in the NRLW to continue that game and continue it to flourish. But in saying that, I do think it's a very big challenge and a very big ask for the women to come during their own time outside of a preseason to do their own work to be match fit and ready for an Origin. That level of commitment is a lot more than what they need to do in order to be prepared for NRLW. But in saying that, they do get normally 10 weeks, I believe, in the lead up to go into camps weekly. And I think that is a great opportunity for them to be able to earn that match fitness and work towards their goal. But in saying that as well, I think the travel and the commitment that they still continue to do without the pay is definitely a challenge.
Do you think we're missing out on potential bolters playing themselves into an Origin team because we don't get to see them playing prior?
Oh, most definitely. I think you'd see probably a few changes made had we have had NRLW before Origin. I think, you know, you look at some of the squads and you look at the readiness, and I think some of the NRLW players that come into this season might have been a little bit more prepared having been playing for a couple of weeks before they landed in game one. But I think at the end of the day, I think, and having discussed some of the setups with some of the players already, there is that discussion around we're very grateful that we've got three games, but I do think we look at how that looks moving forward as NRLW continues to grow.
Well, I can tell you, give you some insight, there is going to be some discussions on maybe trying to change the format, so I'll keep everyone updated as we know more.
The man in the know,
and
T. Arona.
Let's look forward to game three this Thursday, played in Gold Coast, and the that colour jersey shirt that you're, or that colour shirt,
is that a New
wearing,
South Wales shirt?
Is that
there?
A blue shirt you're wearing?
Yeah, sky blue.
My work.
Oh, it's
my
your work. Your work, New South Wales blue shirt. I like it.
But no, but what on we, that note.
So what are we to expect this Thursday night, game three?
Well, I hope not a whitewash, and this shirt doesn't
They've actually
represent-
caught it a blue wash, the girls. They've caught it the blue wash. Just a bit like your shirt.
I really hope that it isn't what a lot of people are expecting it to be. I think, you know, it's going to be a challenge in itself, I believe. John Strange played a video of them losing the other day to them about how that felt, and they made them rewatch it and say, this is how we don't want to feel moving forward into this game. So I think there's a lot of motivation for these girls to take the three games out of the series. But for Queensland, if that were to happen, that would be a history-making moment as well for women. But it would be the first time in 26 years that that would happen as well. So there's a lot on this game. Queensland have come in debuting a few players. There's been a few players ruled out. The likes of Tamika Upton will be lost in this game. Mackenzie Will, who's a forward, and Julia Robinson. So in the backs, they've lost a lot of strike power and a lot of experience. They're debuting Destiny Minnis in a party. So she is a proud Samoan. She's had an amazing couple of years playing. I love her on the wing. I think she's outstanding. I'm really excited for her in there. But I do think that it's a tough game to debut at, especially when you're debuting at a fullback role. So what? I hope she has some confidence.
What NRLW team does she play for?
She plays for the Gold Coast Titans.
Ah, the Titans. So home field advantage for her. But yeah. those are some huge, a few huge names that we'll be missing for Queensland.
See, just I know there's a few names missing, but that little bit that she Shelley just said around preparation and showing the loss, put your coach's hat on, is that the little bit of edge that you need, or is motivation what you're relying on, or is it discipline? Like, how would you try and get your team up like that, knowing that there's this hasn't been done for a long time and you've had that feeling in the past?
What are your thoughts, Shelley? This is the long story short.
Yeah, but I'm keen to hear your thoughts so we can bounce off.
I reckon if you need to motivate a team, you definitely show the moment when you've lost so it doesn't happen again. But to wrap us up, Shelley, what are your thoughts?
Oh, I think they've won this series, and I think you do use that as a bit of a builder into this game, because you've got that success. You've already felt that win. You know, you're taking the Shield home, but you don't want to just leave it there, because I think as when you look at this team, there's so much potential in taking it out across the three games. And I think you do need that motivation to go into this game and not kind of treat it as if it wasn't an Origin game. So I do think you use it in that sense. And I think you look at it as this has never happened before. Imagine if you wrote, you were on this team and you wrote that into history. So there's a lot of things backing those girls, and I think it's really exciting that there's the potential for this to happen. But I also, as a Queensland supporter, really hope it doesn't happen.
All right, so what's the score then? To wrap it up.
The last few games have been a pretty close game. So I'm going to say 8-10.
10-8.
10-8 to the Blues. Beautiful. Well,
that's us done.
you went for the Queensland, right?
Oh, 10-8 for Queensland, yeah, guys. Sorry,
Come on, man. You're switching off here.
Just making sure. Well, Shell, it's been awesome to have you back here on Nijin Footy, and looking forward to catching you every Monday now that the NRLW and Super W will be kicking off very shortly. Cheers, Shell.
Thanks, guys.
Well, guys, this is your son, Nasila Silla from the Fijian Draw, and you're listening to Nijin Footy.
Yeah, today we're checking in with Lorraine Genya to shed some light on the club rugby scene in PNG, as she is with the mighty Valley Hunters Rugby Club in Port Moresby. She's also a massive advocate for women in sport and is no stranger to media, as she was a sports journalist and news anchor for MTV in PNG, and she joins us right now. Lorraine, thank you for joining us on Nijin Footy.
Thanks for having me, Sam. It's definitely a bit awkward being on the other end of an interview, so yeah, excuse the nerves.
Oh, man, you can critique us on our questions if need be. Yeah. If you don't like those questions, you can just say, nah, next, I'm not answering that. Yeah. But can you just set the scene and give us a rundown just on what you do at the club at the Valley Hunters Rugby Union Club in Port Moresby?
Yeah, so I basically came on board after both Frank and Will kind of jumped in to help the club out. This was on the back of their 2024 win. And I guess since then, I saw the opportunity to come in, come on board, and I guess amplify the work that's been done at the club. My thing is really to tell stories and stories that matter. And I guess that's what we've been able to do over the last 3 years, and that's what's kind of led me here. But also just kind of helping the club out with partnerships, you know, both here and overseas, and just turning the club into something that's bigger than rugby, essentially.
I know rugby league is such a huge sport in PNG. How has that been with rugby union competing with rugby, like sport like rugby league in a place like PNG?
It's interesting, though, because I had the conversation with my really good friend, Jaylee. Sam, you might know her. She works for MTV currently. And she's a rugby league fanatic. We both worked together at MTV over 10 years ago, and she still does everything rugby league. And I was always known as, you know, the one reporter that did everything rugby. And it's still to this day, like, to PNG. And everyone that I worked with back then, we were catching up tomorrow, and they were like, you're still the same. Like, rugby, it's like immortal. And I'm like, well, you know. But yeah, like, it's huge. It's really big. But, you know, through my work with MTV, I was able to travel throughout PNG, and there is still a genuine love for rugby union. I covered a lot of the Get Into Rugby program that World Rugby was kind of pushing out, particularly to the Pacific Island countries. And that's where I kind of saw that there, while rugby league is up there, there's definitely a gem in love for rugby union.
Obviously, your brother is well known, Willie Genya. But when, and then your other brother, is he the head coach for the Valley Hunters team?
Yeah. Yeah,
Frankie, that's right. So when you all got together to say that, okay, we're going to decide to give back and help out in PNG with this club, you know, what were some of the strategies and ideas that you guys came up with straight away that you wanted to address?
Listen, I tell you what, it was a very interesting conversation, and Will will probably hate me for saying this, but it was definitely over a glass of wine. He was down in Brisbane, classic Will, down in Brizzy over his break, and we drove up to the Gold Coast for the weekend, took our kids there. And I said to him, I have this crazy idea. Let's do something big next year, which is 2025. Let's capitalize on this win. Let's do something. Let's give back. And that kind of led us to, I'm not sure if you know, but the Heart of Rugby Gala dinner that we held in June last year. And again, that for us, that was really to give more meaning to the work that we're doing within the club itself. And everything kind of just took off from there. It was a conversation, an idea over a glass of wine. This was in December. We started work on this project in March and we delivered in June. So it's been massive, not for us. It's been massive for the club, but more so I'd say for rugby here in Port Moresby, but also in PNG. It's led the club and our players to opportunities that, you know, I'd say they wouldn't have had otherwise.
Mm. What is one story that stands out to you that probably means the most so far in your short journey?
I think Ben, we've got a player, Ben Lassiel. He's going over to India in a couple of weeks. He's someone that came like fresh from the village. And, you know, he's someone with just like raw, pure, amazing talent. And I remember when I first watched him play, I said to Frank, we got to get this guy out there. Like, let's continue to push him out on our socials. Like, just let's get him noticed. And I guess it's more of a success story as well. And giving credit to Corey Chan from Capital Rugby Union. But this guy's doing amazing things. Again, he's going over to India for the second time, this time fully contracted. And I guess he's an example of what we can do in this space of, you know, publicising not just the club but our players and marketing, you know, the talent we have within rugby union here in PNG.
That is so cool. So you're saying Ben is contracted to a rugby union club in India?
Yeah, I think it's a HSBC. There's a sevens thing there, yeah. Sam, correct?
Yeah, there's this. They've had a couple of different things happen, but yeah, it's almost like the IPL. Of sevens rugby happens in India.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's coming up very soon. So,
like, oh man, I didn't even know that they played rugby union in India.
Yeah, it's massive in India. It's massive in Sri Lanka as well.
That's why I had to double check. You said India,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it's big over there. But I love that because you know what springs to mind straight away when you say like marketing and providing opportunities through, I guess, more meaningful ways, like through credibility of your family, rather than hearing like the agent stories. You know, where like they've poached and they've just sent someone somewhere else. Like, I just love that, you know, through your heart being in the right place and genuinely wanting to see someone succeed, like this is the platform that you're provided. So when I heard you say that, I was like, bro, that is so cool. Just like what you can do now when you can connect people through other means, especially through the power of content. When you go over to a PNG and you look at the grounds. When I was over there, I'm still blown away about the grounds that you play on. It just looks painful when you're just standing there watching. What do you see needs to happen as well to help you guys out more around facilities and around equipment and just the basic needs that you would have in, you know, say Australia when it comes to performing? Like, what else is needed at those clubs?
Oh, look, I guess for me, what I see from the outset, you know, being there in mainstream media, obviously I had access to a lot of information. And the sad thing about that is there hasn't been much change. You know, you've got, you have a lot of people that are trying their best to grow the game, improve the standard of the game. And again, credit to Corey Chan from Capital Rugby Union, you know, the other clubs as well that are doing their part. But I think what needs to be done is, you know, full accountability at the top level. Because what's not happening at the top is rippling down to the bottom. And you can see it in the little things like our fields, right? And sadly, Bubba Park hasn't changed since I reported for MTV 10 or so years ago. We've got amazing facilities, Sam, as you would have seen. You know, we've got the infrastructure. It's just not taken care of.
Yeah.
It's a top issue that ripples down and affects all of us. And credit to the players that are still there, the clubs that are still there, they've been there 20, 30 years and they've been through it all with, you know, the highs and lows of rugby. But, yeah, there's a lot that needs to change. And once you come back and see the grass is greener, that's definitely changed.
That's one place where I'd love to see where the grass is greener. When you talk about that saying, yeah, I'd love to see grass over there.
When you first thought about this idea a few years ago, has it been everything that you expected, or has it come with a lot of challenges that you did not expect?
It's definitely been everything that I've expected for a number of reasons, though, but I think more so the fact that I get to do what I do with my brothers. Funny story, because growing up, for a long time, it was just myself and my three brothers. Our younger sister came along way too late, but she didn't matter anymore. So it was always like, Lorraine, you can't sit with us. You can't play with us. You know, this is boys only. Like, now the boys give me a seat at the table, and they don't just do that. They value my input as well. And I feel like it's just a full circle moment. They love what they do. I love what I do. And we all do it together as a family. That's been like the most fulfilling part of what I do with the club.
That's awesome.
One of the, we've seen Will on some of his social clips now on ABC Pacific, you know, of giving back to the community and doing some coaching and seeing the love that he's getting, and also what you guys are doing behind the scenes as well. How does that make you feel as well, as a, you know, to having a seat at the table, but just as a whole family dynamic, just like going, we're actually doing something meaningful?
I think rugby's really essentially like ingrained in us. It's the center of our family. It's what holds us together. It's a conversation we have every day, whether it's, did you see how the Reds played, or did you see how Drua played, or, you know, what's happening in Japan, or now more so around Valley Hunters and what's happening here. It's just who we are. I'm very proud as a sister and a daughter of what we're able to achieve. And I think that's just how we were brought up. We were brought up very privileged, very fortunate, but always told to remember your roots, you know, check your privilege essentially. And I guess that's been the backbone of everything that we do. And I mean, it transcends into the work that we're able to do with Valley Hunters.
Can definitely hear the meaningfulness, or like your intent to your purpose. And I think that's why, you know, you and your family are such great people. You mentioned earlier about being a female in this space. And is it something that you recognise in not only PNG, but across Pacific and in rugby, and I see it in rugby league, where we need to encourage more females to be in these spaces and being at the table and making decisions?
Yeah, 100%. I've also volunteered in Fiji and in Samoa with Samoa Rugby Union way back a couple of years ago. And I was probably only one female out of, you know, a whole group of volunteers that went out to schools, went out to community and did the Get Into Rugby program. But I guess now, being part of the World Rugby Women in Rugby Careers program, just seeing the amount of women that are actually involved across the globe, like, it's so inspiring to see that language shouldn't be a barrier. You know, gender definitely shouldn't be a barrier. You want to play, you want to be involved, get involved. And I think, you know, I've never played rugby. So I'm that one sibling out of five that has never played sport. So I'm the sideline girl. Like, I do my part. But I know, especially in our society here in PNG, that plays a huge role in participation, in involvement, that sort of thing. But I think coming out there and an opportunity like this even to speak to you guys, I hope other women can see that as, you know, I guess something that they can do. If that's what you want to do, do it.
Yeah, I have to agree. I grew up in the dressing rooms, and it was rugby dressing rooms as well, not rugby league.
T's mum and auntie are champions when it comes to rugby.
And it wasn't because of my dad, it was because of my mum and my auntie. So I must say, I do agree. What's the end goal? What's the vision? What's the end goal for you guys?
I guess from a Valley Hunters perspective, so the first couple of years, you know, we were prioritizing building the club's flagship team, which is the men's team. And this year, I hope you guys have noticed that one of our priorities is trying to align what the women do with the men. Our women's team just got new kit. We involve them heavily with our community initiatives, our social activities. And we're working towards bringing them up to par with our men's team, because you can't really boast success in a club if you've got the men up here and the women just kind of, you know, dragging along. So our end goal is to, just really have our men and women on par, take them overseas, give them both an opportunity, and just let them have fun and play footy.
You mentioned the success story of, was it Ben Ben that went over to India?
Yeah.
What's something that has brought a smile to your face in the women's space around what you've done so far?
Oh, look, it's come to the point where we've got a lot of girls that are wanting to play. It was a matter of we need more numbers. We don't have enough numbers. Now we've got too many players. maybe it's the new jerseys. I don't know.
Kit is a big one. If you have good kit, man, kit and food, you got me.
I think that's one thing that does really bring a smile to my face is seeing, and these are young girls as well that are, you know, putting their hands up. Our socials goes off all the time. Like, I've got girls saying, can we come down to training? Can we join? We've never played before. We don't know how to play. We're scared of this and that. Like, it's just something that makes me really happy to see that there isn't just a genuine interest. Girls and women are wanting to play.
Well, Lorraine, it has been a very heartwarming chat with you. We love the work that you and your family are doing over in PNG, and we're definitely going to check back in with you again once you keep progressing and more success stories come up, because they're the stories that we love to hear.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. And thanks for the opportunity. It means a lot, not just for the club, but, you know, for rugby and our community back here as well.
Awesome. Well, hopefully we can get over there. I'd love to come and help out and do a line-out session or something. T's got tackle tech sorted. Whatever you need us, we're here to run the waters out, probably. That's where we're probably most useful.
Give me three answers for this one. Sammy, please tell me you're up.
I am
and
up.
You're asking me the question because I did not have anything prepared if it was.
Guess
me.
What, T? I thought it was you, so I've come in with a mad question because I thought, hey, I'm sure it's T up. No, it's me up.
No, it was you. And
so
you know,
I
when
did
we had,
about 10 minutes ago.
I know we had a meeting pre-studio or pre-record.
I was trying to find some
you
stuff.
You were trying to find
Gimme
3A.
Yeah, you saw me on my phone.
I was like, this guy's on his phone. I bet you he's looking at Gimme 3.
And that's exactly what I was doing.
Okay. Well, for our listeners, this is Gimme 3, a game where one of us will ask our game categories, ask the questions, and we keep a score. The loser has to buy the winner a jersey of their choice at the end
of the
year.
See if I can get them one for you at the end of this week.
I'm up 20 points to 16.
Loss.
Try and get that. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
But
signed one.
You are up.
Okay.
Let me know what you prepared during our important meeting that we had not long ago.
You're gonna get this. I reckon you'll get two out of the three.
I hope I do.
You should do. And we've spoken about all these plays as well. Okay.
Big Ben.
Close.
Okay.
This is Tongan theme. Tongan backs that have played both codes. So I'm just giving you context.
Mm.
Give me three Tongan backs who have made their debut last weekend or will make their debut in another format where their family members, like their dad, their sister, their brother, their mum, have represented Tonga. So there's three backs across both codes. That would be made.
Oh, yeah, I got
you see where I'm going
so
with this?
Tolukola.
That's one.
Tolukola.
Tolukola.
Making his debut for New South Wales Blues. His
yes.
Mum and dad were Olympians.
Yes, for Tonga. Perfect. There's one. Okay. Give me another one who made their debut.
There was Talanoa Benatani.
Yes.
Sisters who have also represented
Tonga,
the Tash.
I knew you'd get two.
Diana.
I knew you'd get those two. But this one, you should know this one.
I should know this one.
Because we have spoke about him. And now I'm going to stop there.
Okay.
Because I'm giving it away. I'll just give you the
spoke
three.
About him. He's obviously in rugby union.
Yep.
He's making his debut.
Made his debut.
Oh, he made his debut. Oh, you mentioned him on
last
Friday, and you said
I gave him a shout out on social. Oh my god, I need to stop talking.
Nah, I remember.
Don't look at your phone and go to social media.
My phone, my camera on my phone. It had a bit of fog on it. But I apologize to the toko. I forgot his name.
Boston Whakawhanua. His dad played for Tonga, but his uncle is the Prime Minister for Tonga. So he represents all of Tonga.
All right.
On the political
that
side.
That was a good question.
That was
I'll
all right for,
yeah,
for making
beautiful.
It up on the spot there, but you'll take two out of that.
Of course, 22 plays 16.
Yeah, there we go. And that's our time up, T. What an episode, bro. Really love that show. Obviously, we got plenty more to come when we talk on Friday. But
up the Blues.
Up the Blues in the men's and the women's. We look forward to unpacking those games, but that's our time up. Make sure you tell your footy-loving friends about Nijin Footy, wherever you find your podcasts, or search us on the ABC Pacific website.
Ka kite.